Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah. Yo. Yo, Keys, where you at?
You going to me?
Yeah,
sound like you were about to kick it off, so I was letting you rock.
Nah, go ahead, baby. Kick it off, baby. Let's go.
All right. So two things. All right, yeah, we got the intro. You're right. We back, me and Keys Rail Talk. I apologize for last week. We had, Blog Talk Radio's trying to cancel us, man. I don't know what's happening. They don't want us on the airwaves. I don't appreciate that. We don't appreciate that. Anyways, though, we're here now. This is the important one. If they weren't going to get us on this week, we were going to have to jump ship. So this is the most important show of the year so far. Probably will be for the rest of the year. And the thing is that we got to talk WrestleMania too, bro. I know you don't want to, but we got to. I know your boy Roman Reigns lost the belt, man. You're sad about it, but we got to discuss it.
Really, I'm not sad that he lost.
I thought that was your boy.
I mean, I am a Roman Reigns fan, but I'm not sad that he lost it. I just think that, people get tired, and wrestling fans are fickle. Unlike UFC fans or boxing fans, wrestling fans are fickle. They admire you, and then they gradually start to hate you. And then when somebody else comes along, they see that replacement, and they latch on to that replacement. But, I just think it was time for Roman, man. 1,300 plus days. He really wasn't wrestling on TV a lot. And I think that kind of irked a lot of fans. And then, people were saying that he can't win a match on his own. But the thing is, if you're a heel, being a bad guy, you're supposed to win by any means necessary, be it by hook or by crook. But I'm happy for Cody, man. Hopefully Cody can carry the company, like Roman did, and we'll see what happens, man. This time right here is really all about Triple H. Can Triple H create storylines that keep fans engaged? Whereas Roman Reigns and the Bloodline, I think, made it easy for Triple H to, write every week, come up with stuff for every week, because that's how much the Bloodline was over. But, WrestleMania was cool. They definitely had a lot of surprises for that last main event. You had first Cena came down. Yeah, Cena came down. Then it was Jimmy, then Jay, then Solo, then Cena, then The Rock, then The Undertaker. I mean, it was cool, man. I think what I was telling Keys, me and Keys texting back and forth, is I don't mind the run-ins as long as they make sense. The Undertaker part really didn't make sense, but I get it. He's a crowd favorite. People love The Undertaker. Overall, for both nights, overall, I give WrestleMania probably an 8 out of 10. I think the first night was way better than the second night, but overall, it was a quality event, bro.
So, I think two things. Actually, three things. Two points I'll bring up before I say why I don't understand that it doesn't make sense thing, because a lot of people are saying that. The first two things to say is, one, it's The Undertaker. And was it Roman Reigns or was it Brock Lesnar that ended Undertaker's WrestleMania streak? Was it Brock Lesnar?
Brock Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar, right, okay. And then I saw another person saying that Undertaker's first match in WWF or whatever it was against Dusty Rhodes. Dusty Rhodes, they had Undertaker win the match. So if that's true, then that makes sense. You know, to me, that makes sense. It's like you do me a favor, I do you a favor. It just happens so much later. So that's one point right there. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what this dude in the TikTok comments was saying, is that Undertaker's first match against Dusty Rhodes, and they had Undertaker win. So, you know, they kind of as I just said. But either way, I mean, I was so excited. I guess for me it's a little different because, like, I'm not invested to the level of somebody who's watching every week, you know. But at the same time, I mean, it is a little confusing when, like, I'm really excited and it's overall, like, it's an unbelievable WrestleMania moment. And then it's like, I have people, like, that are basically, like, disappointed. And then, like, some guy online was saying that, like, it has to make sense, like, for fans that are really invested. And I'm like, why does it? I don't really understand why it has to make sense. Like, even if there was no tie, which, like, people said, like, there was ties with each guy. You know, and if you really want to look at, the Seth Rollins piece, I mean, I was even reading some people talk about that, and that probably, and I know that's not the part that people were saying didn't make sense, but overall, if you look at what they did with that, I think the long-term, you'd call it long-term storytelling of that was pretty incredible. I mean, if you look at what Seth Rollins, that promo that he cut to Cody when he said, you know, there's nobody better suited to be your shield, to be your shield. And then if you look at, like, this is like literal, like, symbolism of words that they, this is like literal, he said, there's no one better suited to be your shield. And when people look at that, it's like, you know, I missed the shield. I wasn't there for the shield era, but I know he enters at WrestleMania with the shield entrance, and he comes from the crowd, and he's in the whole, you know, the whole getup. But when he said, "Be your shield," people also pointed out that Seth Rollins really wasn't doing. He was taking hits the whole time. Seth Rollins wasn't really kicking anybody's ass. He was getting his ass kicked for Cody.
Yeah.
And if you look at the exact thing, people talked about night one. I mean, I didn't see it. I only saw the part that I saw. But if you even just look at this example, and I honestly didn't really understand this part too much, because if you look at the video that they posted back of it on of the match on YouTube, it literally cuts right from The Rock and John Cena's interaction in the ring. It cuts from the end of that to right to the Undertaker's bell. When you hear the bell, and it's almost like they cut out Seth Rollins' entrance into the match. I don't know if, like, from the official channel, from the video, his entrance into the match is not in the video. They edited it out, and I don't know why. I mean, there must have been, like, some reason why you would do that. That's, like, a very specific thing to, and a very, like, important piece to just, like, cut out. I don't know why they did that. But overall, if you look at when he did enter the match, you know, no one better suited to be your shield. What happened? He literally entered the match as Roman probably, you know, had the upper hand on Cody right there, because, you know, that was right after Solo Sikoa had entered the match, then John Cena entered the match, then The Rock takes out John Cena. Now it's Roman's back up, and Cody's, you know, getting to his feet or whatever. Roman has a good advantage in that moment. And when Seth Rollins enters the ring, he, like, leaps at Roman Reigns, and Roman Reigns hits him with a Superman punch. That was literally Seth Rollins being Cody's shield. Like, Roman Reigns, like, was in a good position to probably finish that match and beat Cody again in that moment. And Seth Rollins literally, like, jumps at him, and he gets Superman punched. But in that moment, he was literally Cody's shield.
And
I don't know.
He took
if that's
a chair shot for Roman.
Yeah, that too. And it's like, if you look at all of it together, it's like he literally was Cody's shield. Like, and that's the type of stuff that I get to. It's like, nah, I think that's dope. Like, I don't know if they thought of that, and, like, that was actually, like, they went to that point, that level, and they're like, okay, like, Seth Rollins is not going to have you know, he's not going to be getting the better of any of these exchanges. He's going to be taking shots for Cody, and what's actually going to save him. And he's going to, you know, give up his title so that, you know, he can help Cody get his. I think that is so crazy. You know?
But I don't understand, though.
Yeah, but I don't understand. I don't understand when you say it's Undertaker and John Cena is there. People tied in John Cena into it somehow. I don't really understand it. But either way,
he lost his last match to Solo. He lost his last match to Solo, and I want to say that it was interference or something. So basically, John Cena and Solo had kind of unfinished business. So that's what tied John Cena into it.
But I just, so, you know, I'm able to be excited. I love it. And then it's just like other, you know, you're saying, and many other people is like, it doesn't make sense. So like, I didn't really enjoy that. I just don't get it. The thing that gets me though, is that I never had, when I was younger, I never knew if anything made sense. Like I was too young to think about that, and I almost feel like what I see a lot of the times in the WWE community when I read the comments is very weird, because I see like a lot of fans that like over speculate. You know what I mean? They like over speculate
exactly.
On like
yes,
on the storylines and like things making sense, and you know all these like talking points that they go on about, and it's like I'm sure if you go in the comments now, there's people talking about like, oh, what could happen at Backlash, or oh, what storyline would make sense for SummerSlam? Oh, they can't do this with Roman Reigns. It's like, man, y'all just gotta like relax, bro. Y'all just gotta like watch it play out. Like, stop speculating,
yep.
Man. That stuff. I don't get that. I don't relate to that. Like to me, like when I was watching wrestling, and you said before, you know, they pretty much refer to the era that I was watching in was like the Ruthless Aggression era. You know, that was where, you know, John Cena was that guy. And it's honestly funny to see some of these other guys today, because, you know, they you know, hold it down for a couple of years. And it's like, you know, this is this big deal. John Cena held down WWE for like a decade. I want to say it was like a decade. But, yeah, anyways, so during that time, I never thought about any of that stuff. I mean, I was too young to really, like, think it that deeply anyways. Like, I probably wouldn't have done that regardless, because when you're, like, 10 years old, you're not going to think about, like, if it makes sense or, like, what the storyline is. Like, I was just like, okay, let's see what happens on Raw. Like, I had no idea. Like, and honestly, the reason why I point that out is because I was always able to enjoy it so much at that time. And me watching that WrestleMania moment, somehow fate just aligned. I was telling my mom this. I was like, Mom, because I showed her the last 5-6 minutes of that match, because I knew she would love it too. And I was like, Mom, how is it that I had no idea where they were at in WrestleMania? Like, I didn't know at what point in the show they were at, but I just turned it on because my brother texted me around like 9 o'clock, because he's in Hawaii right now. On a work trip, and he was like, oh, give me an update on Roman versus Cody. So then I was like, oh, damn. I was like, let me try to look up the stream. And I have Peacock anyways. I didn't even know it was free. But anyways, I look it up, and what's the odds that I'm at the exact point in the match? Like, I probably tuned in 2 minutes before Solo entered the match. Like, it was right at that moment. Like, it was – I probably was tuned in 2 minutes before maybe 2 minutes max before Solo entered the match, and then that whole thing unfolded. It was, like, right at that time. It could have been at any point in the show. Somehow I got there just in time to see that, and then just in time to see John Cena enter the match. And I was so – I couldn't believe it. Like, I was – I'm surprised I didn't fall out the window, bro. I was beside myself. I was like, no way. Because I told my brother earlier in the week, I was like, yo, I've been seeing some stuff, and it's not like I tried to read too much into, like, spoilers or anything before it happened, but because, again, I tried not to, like, speculate too much about, like, what could happen and just, like, let myself experience it. But I did have – but I did say to my brother, I was like, if only we knew a guy that was a if only we knew a 16-time world champion, you know, that could help out if they try to rob Cody. And then I sent them a gift from John Cena. And then that was just me saying, I was like, all right, I think that would be dope. But then it did happen. And I was like, oh, my goodness. You know, I was surprised it would fall out the window. But still, so my whole point is that was me not speculating too much on anything or, like, how it could go and just kind of, like, letting myself get hit with it. Because I always felt like wrestling does well with being unpredictable. You know, that unpredictability and spontaneousness of, like, what happens in the matches and, you know, who cashes in the Money in the Bank that you forgot about, like Damian Priest did, or you know, whatever. Like, who comes back, you know, from 5 years being away, or how CM Punk came back was like 10 years. Like, I always thought that wrestling did better with unpredictability and things not lining up, you know, them just doing it in a way that they're going to hit you diagonally with it, you know, from left field. Mm-hmm. And it's just going to be what it is.
And that's the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be, when they do surprises, it's supposed to be something that you don't even guess, that you don't even see coming. And that's why I say I wasn't mad about the Undertaker popping up. But when I went and thought back to the storyline, I was like, well, Undertaker wasn't even in the storyline. But who cares? He's loved by the fans. Evidently, The Rock and Triple H wrote it in. They executed it. And Undertaker probably had one of the loudest pops of the night when they play this music. So, you know, sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't, but this is just one of those times that it worked. And to be honest, as a fan, I'm glad it worked, because, you know, you as a show or a performer, you don't want to be the one that they say, whew, yeah, you ain't made the cut this week, you know, so. But it was good, man. It was very, very good.
And I'll say this. So, first of all, I want to point out that, you know, my brother was telling me that Seth Rollins, you know, maybe they had him drop the belt because he has, you know, he's injured and he has to take some time to recoup from his injury, and that's why they did it. And then I imagine they probably said, okay, we have, like, pieces that we could put together. Like, you know, Damian Priest kind of had the Money in the Bank and he never cashed it in. They had all these different things that they could do, which is like the twist, you know. It's like, that's where WWE comes in with the unpredictability, is like, okay, you know, you think you're saying, like, oh, is it Seth Rollins or Drew McIntyre is going to walk away with the heavyweight title? But it's like, no, you're actually not factoring in this other thing that we're going to pull from left field, and it's going to be neither one of them in the end. And then people probably thought, oh, CM Punk, but no, he's not going to be a part of it. Like, you know, just kind of making you think that you have it figured out. CM Punk is one of the last two in the Royal Rumble. Like, okay, Cody's going to get something, but then CM Punk's going to find his way in there. So they let you think that you have it figured out, and then really, you know, you're forgetting about this other thing that happened like a year or two ago, and they're going to run that course. But overall, I had no idea how good Seth Rollins was. This is a guy that I really didn't know much about, this guy. And then recently, like in the last, you know, 6 months, I started to watch a lot of these, you know, the work he was doing as the champion. You know, I loved, like, the big glasses with the big, like, fur coat. You know, I don't know, what was he? He was calling himself the Visionary, I was like, yo, I love Seth, man. This guy's phenomenal. I was like, I had no idea how good he was on the mic. I was completely, I don't know if that's always been his like way of personality. Like, I don't know if he always played that same type of character on his promos, or if he had, I mean, I'm sure he had different versions of, you know, he had different versions of himself. A lot of these guys, you know, go into different versions and they kind of approach a different way. But I'll say I love the way he's been cutting his promos when he was the champion, and since he had been the champion. And I also love the fact that I saw that he was doing a lot of matches. You know, I liked that, because similarly to how I say in the UFC, like, I respect the champions that will defend against everybody rather than say, like, oh, I want to fight this guy and I won't fight that guy, and then I'll end up fighting, like, once a year, twice a year. Like, you know, I always say I respect the active champions, like, the ones that will take the risk, even if it means they lose the belt. It's like, I respect the fact that they were willing to fight that guy instead of not taking it and saying, well, I'm the champion, I call the shots, I'm not going to fight him. You know, I'd rather the guy say, oh, I'm going to fight everybody. You know, I want to fight the guys that want to fight me. So I liked how I saw that with Seth Rollins. They said Seth did like 50-something title defenses in 2023. I think it was more.
Ooh. That's a lot. But I believe
they said
it was
like
50-something.
In 2023, and then they compared it, and I know, like, people love Roman Reigns, and honestly, I respect him more after he lost the belt, and seeing, you know, I respect him more after seeing the way his ability to touch, you know, like, the way I read posts from his fans with the hashtag Thank You Roman, and I saw the way that he affected people and the things
mm-hmm.
people said about him, that made me respect him so much, you know, like, because I was a fan of Roman when he first came on the scene. You know, I was watching during that time before he became Tribal Chief Roman, in early stage, you know, before I don't think I saw him when he was in the Shield, but he was on his own. I remember watching the Mania when it was Triple H as the champion versus Roman Reigns. I remember that time. I don't know what year that was, but I was watching during that time too. I had chimed back in for a while, and I was like, oh, this Roman Reigns guy is pretty cool, but, like, I feel like something's missing, you know? I was like, something's missing, but, like, he's definitely – he's got potential. And I remember my brother saying at that time, like, yeah, I feel like, you know, he could be – you know, maybe they're trying to build him up to be, like, the next Triple H, you know? And I always thought that was interesting. But overall, yeah, I grew to respect him a lot more just reading – what people said about him and how he was able to touch a lot of these people and make them feel, because it's all about how you make people feel, you know, more than what you do or say. You know, it's like how you make people feel stays with them forever, you know, like they'll never forget it. So that right there is amazing. It almost gets me kind of emotional to talk about it, because I don't know. Even if I don't get that same feeling, it makes me feel good to see other people were affected in a positive way by somebody, you know, and that makes me gain a lot of respect for that person. Makes me want to look at them, look into it deeper, and see what it is, and be like, wow, you know what? Like, maybe this is a good guy right here. You know, maybe I need to take a second look at this dude. You know.
Yeah. Because I think my big thing coming out of WrestleMania is I want to see more of Logan Paul. I really like him. I really like what he does inside the ring. I want to see Logan Paul. I want to see Randy Orton, of course. But, yeah, man, this is crazy, Keith. Think about last weekend, we had WrestleMania. This weekend, we got UFC 300. Next weekend, we got Devin Haney versus Ryan Garcia, bro. 3 weekends in a row. Wow. That's all I can say. Wow.
I'll tell you this right now. Ryan Garcia is going to get beat down. That's one thing I'll say. He's going to get beat down and absolutely embarrassed. It's going to be a Devin Haney masterclass is what's coming. Even though we just watched the Devin Haney masterclass and no one even talked about it, which kind of offends me. Because it's like, yo, you guys only don't talk about that because it's Devin Haney. Because the box community loves to hate Devin Haney. I don't know what it is, but they just give him nothing, man. It's like, if anybody else put on that – if Tank had put on a shutout against that same guy, everyone will be showing Tank so much love. I firmly believe that, you know. But because it's Devin Haney, they brush it off like, oh, that guy was never that good. Even though before the fight, you were predicting Devin Haney to lose to that guy. But then once he beats that guy and that guy doesn't even win a round and there was a 10-8 in there, now they brush it off. No one talks about it. And then now, you know, Ryan Garcia is, you know, they basically clown Devin Haney and he's saying, oh, you were, you know, Devin Haney. I watched him. He's saying Devin Haney was at parties with Diddy and all this stupid shit that Ryan Garcia was fucking been saying. And I'm just like, bro, it's okay that you can win the press conference, bro. You can win, you know, the media and all this stupid stuff that leads up. You can win the build-up. You're not going to win the fight. So that's fine. You know, that's what I would say. If I want to say anything, and I did, I tweeted it at Devin Haney, too. I said that. I was like, yo, let this guy, you know, let these guys win the build-up. Let them win all the promo and all these, you know, Instagram moments and videos they want to post. And let them win all the, you know, the clown show. That's fine because you're going to win the fight. So, and that's what matters. It's all about the fight. The fans can't fight for you.
That's right. That's all that matters.
The fans can't fight for you.
That is the bottom line.
Yeah, and that's what Mayweather told Conor McGregor when they were about to fight. Because McGregor, you know, at every press conference, it mainly seemed like the crowd was on his side, and you know, it seemed like the public was supporting McGregor more, and maybe he was the bigger star in fighting at that time. But Mayweather told McGregor, he said, "Look, the fans can't fight for you," and that's damn true. It doesn't matter if you're the more popular guy or you're clowning me at the press conference. That doesn't mean anything because it's only going to be you in there. The fans can't fight for you. And Ryan Garcia is going to have a rough time because I think, you know, all the stupid stuff, he's been paying attention to the wrong stuff. And I think he should have been more focused this whole time. You know, he's out there partying and you know, doing drugs and talking about, you know, all this fucking weird stuff. And, you know, I mean, posting this wealthy post on his Instagram, bro's getting hacked. I don't even know what's going on. Bro's talking about, you know, secret societies and all that. It's like, man, you need to focus, bro. You need to focus. All right, because you're about to get beat down. He was going to get beat down even without it. He was even going to get beat down if he was focused. So the fact that he hasn't been focused, it's going to be even worse. It's going to be even worse. But, yeah, to the whole point, yes, the fact that we got WrestleMania 40, which a lot of people are saying was the best. A lot of people are saying it's the best WrestleMania in history. I'm not saying it is or it isn't. But I say that I thought it was dope of the little bit that I did see, and I shall watch the matches back. You know, and I think, you know, I hope to see Seth Rollins back, man. I really like that what he was doing in 2023 and. I don't know. He's a guy, if anything, that has affected me. I look up to him. You know, I look up to Seth Rollins. I like the way that he carries himself and his work ethic, you know, in the game. You know, he puts in a ton of work, and he has the personality to back it, you know. And you could tell that he's confident in himself. So I hope Seth Rollins heals up and he comes back and, you know, he can just get back to what he was doing and maybe even get the belt back. Because I loved his whole thing as champion. It was like, you know, I don't got to put on a big show for the people, but I am the champion, and I work way harder than you.
I love Seth, but Seth needs to let his body heal. I mean, he has definitely carried his company since the pandemic between him and Roman about guys being available, guys showing up, you know, guys not complaining, even though Roman had leukemia. Both those guys carried WWE during the pandemic. But, hey, Seth is really beat up, Keys. He got a knee issue, and he opted not to have a procedure so he could wrestle at WrestleMania. And then he also has a bad back. And me and you probably ain't been through a back situation, but once your back starts giving out, it's an issue. It's an issue. It's like every little thing hurts. So I'm hoping Seth get back, but Keith, I'm so ready to talk UFC 300, man. I'm so ready, dog.
And let me just put one more thing down right now, because I want to just tell the people what I was referencing when I said about his title defenses. So I said it was 50 times, and I agree. He should take the time off, because especially with these numbers I'm about to say, you know, he was. I mean, Seth was averaging, you know, more than one title defense per week in 2023. So he's crazy. He was averaging almost two title defenses a week for the whole year in 2023. He's crazy. So I was going to read this stat. They said, according to the Internet Wrestling Database, since Roman Reigns won the WWE Universal Championship, he has defended his title 53 times in 166 weeks. They said Seth Rollins has now exceeded that total with 57 defenses of the World Heavyweight Championship in just over 31 weeks. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's a crazy stat.
So yeah. That's almost two title defenses a week. If he had 60, if it was in, that's almost two title defenses a week. That is really wild. That's like one and a half defenses a week or something like that. He's crazy. But I hope he takes time off and you know, eventually when we do see him back, you know, I'll be checking for him. I'll be looking out to see that, man. I'm a big fan. I didn't know how good he was. I wasn't aware. I wish you would have told me. You didn't tell me. Man.
See, because I don't turn myself to kind of like a casual wrestling fan, because some of the stuff they do I like, some of the stuff that they do I don't like. You know, certain referees and all this and all that. But yeah, man, I get into WrestleMania, I get into Survivor Series. Outside of that, I really don't be messing with WWE no more.
On that note, I'm over here carrying us deep into the depths of the WWE wrestling talk. Anyways, UFC 300, biggest UFC card of all time. This is crazy. I remember when they said it, and it was on, I think, a Bovada betting line. It was like beginning of the year. I think it was like January this came out. This was when we only knew like two or three fights in the card. We knew it was like Jerry versus Rockick. We knew like Zhang Wiley, a title fight, and we had like maybe like one other fight. I think we knew like Bo Nickel and Cody Brundage. I think it was like those three fights were the only ones we had at this time. And then there was a betting line on Bovada, and they said, could the UFC 300 pay-per-view break the all-time record of 2.4 million buys? And I remember saying at the time that definitely no. I was like, there's no shot. I was like, that's a great bet because it's not going to break it. And then now with the way the card is now, I'm a little bit more nervous about it. I'm not saying they're going to break it or they're not going to break it. I'm just saying I am a little bit more nervous about my take than what I was in January. I was very confident when I said that January. And it's funny because over the past couple months, a lot of people have gone back and liked my comment. And it's almost like they're saying, like, yo, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? And now I'm looking at them like, oh, man, this is getting scary, bro. I don't know. This is getting scary, man. That card is – that's a crazy card, man. That's a crazy – and UFC 299 was a crazy card. But you know what, bro? A lot of people said that one was better than 300, man. I don't know if it's better than 300. I think – I don't know. I lean towards saying no. I think 300 is the better card, man.
If I really had to compare – I like kind of Ring of Honor. I mean, AEW right now. But when it comes to Superstar Power, man, AEW has a lot down because Ring refused to give any of their money to that person. So, yeah, man. But I'm ready, man. I'm ready.
Yeah, so... Yeah, like I said, overall, I think UFC 300 is the better card. It was better than UFC 299. And a lot of people, as it wasn't full, a lot of people were saying that it wasn't. Did you catch me when I was I on mute when I was just saying that? Did you hear that?
No.
You heard it?
Yeah, I heard it.
All right, cool. So, yeah, overall, so UFC 300, I think there's going to be a lot of underdog wins on this card, man. I think we're going to see a lot of upsets here. You know, I think these matches.
I think so, too. I think so, too.
I think a lot of these matches are much closer than the odds would suggest. One of them that I think is honestly suspect, and I'm glad that, like, I'm not going to do much betting on this card because I might put in, like, the few, like, just for the culture. You know what I mean? Just for the culture, like, you know, I might put in, like, my max. Like, I might just put in, like, my Max Holloway money line. Like, that's a fact. That might be my Aljamain Sterling. You know, that's a fact. Diego Lopez, that's money line. That's a fact. Oliveira, money line. That's a fact. Like, I might just put in, like, those type. Jamal Hill, money line. I like him. That's a fact. Like, I might just put in, like, the – you know, my best on the dogs, because I think, and I don't mean like underdogs. I'm talking about like the dogs. Like when I say the dogs, I'm talking about like my boys. All the dogs are on this card, bro. Like a lot of my favorite fighters, you know, from different divisions are on this card. It's kind of a bug out. Like 155, Oliveira, 145, Max Holloway, 155, Diego Lopez, 205, Jamal Hill. Like a lot of Keys' favorite fighters are on this card. Lee, did you recognize that?
Man. You know, when I first looked at him, man, you know, I'm a Max fan. I'm a Charles Oliveira fan. Aljo, I like that guy. I like Calvin Cater because he represents where you from. You know, he holds it down for you guys. I've always been a Holly Holm fan. And you know, Bobby Green been my guy. So, and then you, Jalen Turner. So yeah, man, I actually like more Conor also. So it's like it's a lot of fighters on this card that I'm familiar with. But Keys, can I get my one gripe out the way before we go any further? My one gripe out the way. And you probably gonna disagree with me, man. Or you might agree with me. Why is Bo Nickel and Corey Brundage on the main card, bro? There's so many other fights that are worthy of being on the main card, and they got.
Nah, I'm not disagreeing with that at all. No, I agree with that. Oh, my bad. Keep going, but I agree.
I mean, I get it. The UFC is in love with Bo Nickel. You know, they see him as the next upcoming star. But I'm looking at Jiří, former champ. No, he wasn't. Was he a former champ? Yeah, he was a former champ. Aljamain Sterling, former champ. Holly Holm, former champ. Corey Garbrandt and David Figueiredo, former champs. And you got Bo Nickel -2500 going against Cody Brundage +1000. So, in so many words, basically saying this fight is one-sided. When we got so many other fights that maybe the day of the fight may become pick-ems. But that's my only gripe. I don't really want to go too far in it. But I just didn't like that they put him on the main card. He could have been the prelim main event because they love him so much. But to have that fight leading off the main card, I'm just not feeling it. But, yeah, I don't know, man. But, hey, let's get it.
And we could jump into predictions right after this if you want, but I'm going to just make this point. I think having a -2500 favorite on your main card, UFC 300, is absolutely wild. You know, I think that and especially not even just that he's that favorite, but it's like if he's going to be that favorite, like why are we – why is he fighting that guy? You know what I mean? It's like Bo Nickel's had a couple fights now. Yeah, he's had a couple of fights now. It's like, why is he fighting? Like, first of all, I'm okay with, like, if Bo Nickel was just on the main card, but he was fighting somebody better, like an actual legitimate threat, I would be like, okay, like, that's okay. Like, you want to advertise Bo Nickel, I understand it, and you put him against a decent fighter. Like, put him against somebody who, like, this is worth being on the main card. Don't put him against a guy who nobody wants to see. Like, this is a squash match. You know, speaking of WWE, like, this is a squash match. Like, what the hell is going on? You know what I mean? It's like, Bo Nickel, at this point, should be fighting guys. Like, they're saying they're slow-tracking him, like, and they compared it to O'Malley. They're not slow-tracking him the same way they slow-tracked O'Malley. O'Malley, I was against
God.
That the whole time. I was against – no, see, I was against the way they slow-track O'Malley, but –
yeah.
The whole time. I was saying, yo, can we get him, like, a ranked fight? I was saying it the whole time. And I understood why he didn't do it, what he said with the contract and all that. I understand it. But overall, it was just like, this is ridiculous. Like, this guy should be fighting way better guys. And – but at least O'Malley, like, take fights with, like, decent guys. Like, he was fighting Thomas Almeida. That's a decent guy. You know, like, Bo Nickel's not even fighting the Thomas Almeida here. He's fighting – like the bottom of the barrel in the UFC, you know?
Yeah.
And O'Malley, you know, eventually stepped up and fought Cheeto. I don't even think Cheeto was ranked at that time, but like Cheeto still was another solid guy. It was like, okay, like this is a legitimate O'Malley fight. Like, here we go. But a lot of his fights were gimmies, you know, he got gimmies most of the way. And then he started to take some, you know, the type of opponents he should be taking, you know, a little bit later. But Bo Nickel, though, is just, this is crazy. Like, they got to give him, like, a half-decent guy to fight. You know, no more debuts. We don't want Cody Brundage, who wins by DQ and you know, killed all of our parlays that time versus Jacob Malkoon. Like, we don't want that, bro. You know, we don't want that guy. And the fact he took a spot on the card, it's like, if you're going to put Bo Nickel versus, you know, Joe Schmo from down the street, why couldn't you have put Money Moicano versus Jalen Turner in that spot?
Exactly.
Aren't they on the prelims?
Yeah, they're on the prelims.
And it's like, how come Bo Nickel versus Cody Brundage, who nobody wants to see fight, is up there, but you couldn't have put Money Moicano versus Jalen Turner up there? I want to say Bobby Green versus Jim Miller is also on the prelims. Like,
yes, it is.
Look at this. Even Yuri versus Rockick is on. I mean, and it's not to say, like, this is, I will say this. This card is so stacked that anybody can kind of be anywhere because the whole thing seems like a main card.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one point I will make is that being on the prelims here is a lot different than being on the prelims, you know, in January or any other time.
Yeah.
Any other card, prelims, is very different. But where you're looking at 300, all of these fights are main card level fights, you know. The early prelims, first fight of the night, is listed as, I don't know if this is true, this is just Google, but, you know, because I thought it was Figueiredo versus Garbrandt, but Google's saying, oh, no, it is Figueiredo. So Figueiredo-Garbrandt is a main event level fight. That's the early prelims, first fight. Bobby Green, Jim Miller.
Yep.
Main card. Andrade Marina, main card. Turner McConnell, main card. Yusuf Diego, main card. Diego actually just did a main event, I'm pretty sure. Holly Holm, Kayla Harrison, main card. Cater Aljo, main card. Jerry Rockick, main card. Whole main card is obviously main card. Like, it's just, it's crazy. Bo Nickel, they need to give him some legit opponents. He shouldn't be on the main card, but it's all good. The whole card's the main card. And let's get into these predictions. We're going to start it off with Figueiredo versus Cody Garbrandt. Who you got?
I got Figueiredo winning this fight. I still don't trust Cody's defense. I think Figueiredo, you know, him coming forward, his movement, being able to wrestle and throw punches. I like Figueiredo winning this fight. I'm going Figueiredo. I got Figueiredo by knockout. I'm going to say second round.
Yeah, I was originally going to go against you and pick Cody, but and I hope to see Cody win, but I'm going to go Figueiredo 2, TKO in round 2. I feel like Cody has ways to win this fight, but do I believe that he'll actually do them? Probably not, and that's why I think he'll lose this fight. And Figueiredo looked damn good at 135. So, yeah, Figueiredo, TKO round 2. Next one, we got Bobby Green versus Jim Miller. Who you got?
Man, this fight worries me because I'm a Bobby Green fan. As he says, he wants to submit Jim Miller. And I don't think that's the guy that you want to come out and say that you want to submit, because Jim Miller is so good on the mat. And another thing about Bobby Green is every time I start to put confidence in him that he's going to climb the rankings, he normally loses a fight like this. But I'm going to bestow my faith in Bobby Green one more time. And I'm going to say after the first round, he gives up his submission pipe dream. And I'm going to say Bobby Green wins second round KO.
Okay, I'm going to go the other way. I got Jim Miller. I think that the two reasons I have are this. Three reasons. One, Jim Miller is super game still. You know, he's different than somebody else that would be at that point in his career. I feel like Jim Miller is a machine. It's kind of like Jim Miller is kind of in the same bracket as what's his name for me? What's the dude with the long hair? He kind of looks like Jesus.
You talking about my man, Clay Guida.
Yeah, Clay Guida. I feel like Jim Miller's kind of like, in my mind, like he's in the same department as Clay Guida. Like they're both older, so you might underestimate, but those dudes will take you out. You know what I mean? And they can take a punch, and they can go, you know what I mean? They got cardio. Those guys are game everywhere, so it's kind of crazy. But, so I'll go Jim Miller. And so he's super game. What's crazy is he fought UFC 100, UFC 200. And he's 2-0 on those two cards. I feel like the 3-0 is coming. And part of the reason why I also think the 3-0 is coming is because Bobby Green, I don't like this turnaround for Bobby Green, man. I think this is too quick. He literally we just saw Jalen Turner KO Bobby Green to where, like, I felt bad. Like, Bobby Green, like, face planted during that KO, I'm pretty sure. And, like, he was gone, man. I felt really bad. Like, he took some punches to the side of that. Jalen Turner left some punches afterwards. He was already out. I was like, the ref, it was a late, the fight was over.
Late
the ref
drop,
allowed Jalen Turner to land extra shots. Like, Bobby was already out as soon as he hit the mat. I was like, the fight should have been no more strikes. You know, the fight was already over. You know what I mean? And I just don't like it. You know, I'm pretty sure that was December, and Bobby Green, here he is, you know, fighting in April. And we just saw how Volkanovski got KO'd in October, and then he fought in February, first a KO guy. Not saying Jim Miller is this big KO guy, but, you know, it's just coming off a KO and then four months, you know, I don't like that for Bobby Green. I would have wanted him to maybe wait till, like, June or something, then come back. So, yeah, I go Jim Miller. I don't think it'll be like a TKO, though. I do think if Jim Miller hurts him, I feel like he might hop a submission or something. So I'm going to probably go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Jim Miller. Jim Miller probably, we're going to Cousin of the Key special, round 3 submission for Jim Miller.
Yeah, I think Jim Miller wins. It will be by submission.
Yeah, because he's good with the submission. I just can't imagine, you know, him hurting Bobby Green and trying to chase it. You know, I feel like if anything, he might try to take his back. If he hurt him, try to take his back, you know, and then take it that way. But plus, I don't want to see Bobby Green get TKO'd. But I do think the short turnaround. I don't like the short turnaround, though. You know what I'm saying, bro? So Jessica Andrade versus Marina Rodriguez. Who you got in this one?
Man, this is a tough fight to pick, man. You got number 4 going against number 6. But I'm going to take Marina Rodriguez an upset, man. I think she wins via third-round submission. I think this is one of my Lee want-to-see-new-blood type fights. And I'm going Marina Rodriguez, man. Third round submission.
Yeah, I'm going Marina as well. I'm going to go Marina, unanimous decision. I think Marina's a lot better than Jessica Andrade. I feel like Jessica Andrade, her time has come and passed. I think the only reason why, you know, any of us are even contemplating, this is just like my intuition. I just feel it. I feel like the only reason that any of us are even, you know, regarding this as competitive is that, you know, Andrade, the way that she beat up Mackenzie Dern, but that's just Mackenzie Dern. You know, she got stuck on the feet, and we all know Mackenzie Dern, he has very suspect striking. So, I mean, Andrade doing that to Dern is really not that crazy. I think Andrade's still on the downslide of her career, and I think Marina's just better. So I think unanimous decision, Marina. Marina's always kind of been a little bit underrated. Next one, we're going Jalen Turner versus Renato Money Moicano. Who you got?
Oh, man, this one's easy, man. I'm taking Jalen Turner, man. You got number 10 going against number 13 with Jalen being number 10. Jalen Turner coming off a very impressive win over Bobby Green. I got Jalen Turner winning by first round TKO, man. Although he does have to be careful with Moicano's ground game, if he can, you know, employ some good takedown defense and keep the fight on the feet, he gets Moicano out there with ease. I got Jalen Turner.
All right, yeah, I think this is one of the tougher ones for me on the card, but I do think Jalen Turner's length, I think his reach advantage will be huge here. I mean, his reach advantage, I think, is huge against anybody. Jalen Turner's a really long, bro's a long fighter, you know what I mean? And I think he's able to use that, you know, in many ways in his fights. And I think he will. You know, I think we'll see, you know, knees to the body, all sorts of cool ninja stuff from Jalen Turner. So, yeah, I see Jalen Turner unanimous decision, man. I think they'll have a good fight, but I think, you know, he'll be clearly the better fighter in it. And this next one, I'm going to switch it up on you and just go ahead and say Sidney Houston versus Diego Lopez. I got Diego Lopez winning. I think Diego Lopez I'll go Diego Lopez unanimous decision. I think this is another one where it'll be a good fight, but Diego Lopez is just that dude.
I'm going the other way, man. I like Diego Lopez, even though he ain't ranked right now. Going against number 13 ranked Sadiq. This is great matchmaking. You got an upstart and Diego going against 13th ranked Sadiq. So basically, these guys are basically on the same level right now. But I'm gonna take on Yusuf. Hopefully, he can get it done, man. But I got him winning by split decision and a stand up war. So give me Yusuf over Lopez.
Okay, next one. It just happened. I had it right there. We got Ollie Holm versus Kayla Harrison. This one is weird. This one's kind of weird because,
yeah,
like, you know, people keep talking about, oh, the last time Holly Holm fought, former judo champion and all this stuff. And I don't know, though, bro. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I could buy into that at this stage, man. I'm going Kayla Harrison. I think she'll have a big, big win here. I'm going to go Kayla Harrison submission. I think we're going to see Kayla Harrison second round submission.
This is easy for me, Keys. Very, very easy. Holly Holm going against a judo person. The last person she beat that was a judo person was Ronda Rousey. She was a heavy underdog against Ronda Rousey. She came out and boxed her, and she pulled an upset. Kayla Harrison, the one thing that we have to keep in mind is she's not used to fighting at 135. How will the weight cut affect her? Will she be able to bring her power down to 135? We don't know. We know Holly Holm can fight at 135. I love this fight. Once again, great matchmaking. Welcome to the UFC moment for Kayla Harrison. But I'm taking the UFC veteran Holly Holm by split decision. And I think it'll be a controversial split decision.
All right. Next one, we got Calvin Cater versus Aljamain Sterling. I got Aljamain Sterling winning. Absolute domination. Not even remotely close. Aljamain Sterling is the best bet of the card by miles, possibly by light years. He's going to look phenomenal at 145. I can't wait to see it. The Aljo fan club is out heavily. The Aljo fan club is actually now in partnership with the Joaquin Buckley fan club. You know, they're working together now to reach new heights here and expand our horizons, you know, and to be able to get the good word out to the people. So, yeah, Joaquin Buckley, future champ. Aljo Sterling, future 145 champ. Let's go.
I love how my man Keys combines the fan clubs and, you know, and all that good stuff. I love it. The only thing I'm worried about, Keys, is the thing you sent me today about Aljo weighing 160 pounds right now and still having to lose 15 pounds. How would that affect his performance? Whereas Calvin Cater is used to fighting at 145. All things being equal, and Aljo makes weight. Aljo wrestling is top notch. We don't know how his chin will hold up at 145, but we know his wrestling will stand up at any class, any weight class. I'm going Aljamain Sterling by second round submission, man.
So, We got Aljo across the board. Jiří Procházka versus Alexander Rakic.
This is a tough fight.
I'm going to tell you right now. This is also kind of a quick turnaround for Jiří when he just got TKO'd by Pereira in November. That's only a 5-month turnaround. But in Rakic, I don't even remember the last time this dude fought. What was that, like 2 years ago? I don't even know. I'm going to go Jiří to bounce back here. I think I like Jiří to win this one. Rakic, I never really thought was that good. And I think Jiří, I just can't see him dropping this one. I can't see him losing here. No, I don't see him losing two in a row. I think Jiří in a fun fight, unanimous decision. I think so.
Man, you're right, man. Last time Rockets fought was May of 2022 against Brokovic, and he lost. So
I'm pretty good at this stuff, man.
I like Jiří, but I am kind of worried that he's coming back kind of quick, coming off a KO loss and dominating fashion. But I really don't have no faith in Rockets, man. So I'm going to take I'm going to take Jiří, and I'm going to say via unanimous decision.
All right, this next one, first fight of the main card, we got Bo Nickel versus Cody Brundage. I'm going to just tell y'all right now, I got Cody Brundage. Cody Brundage wins by DQ in an absolute embarrassment for the whole sport.
Hold up, time out. No, we're not doing this. You got what?
Huh?
You got Brundage winning by DQ?
I got Brundage winning by DQ.
Oh, okay. Entertain me. I got Bo Nickel, but how does he win by DQ?
So Bo Nickel will, similar to Jacob Malkoon versus Cody Brundage, where Malkoon was basically about to TKO. He was about to TKO Cody Brundage, and he was smashing him into the cage. And then I guess Malkoon landed an illegal strike.
Okay.
Malkoon landed an illegal strike, and they said that it was illegal, and then so ended up being DQ. And then Brundage ended up winning the fight, which broke a lot of people's parlays, which was total bullshit because Malkoon was literally finishing Cody Brundage in the first round, and then he does a legal strike, and then technically he lost the fight, which is – so
okay.
I'm going Brundage by DQ here, man, and a total meme of a pick.
Now, I'm going to tell y'all now, For those that gamble, hey, your man Keys might be on to something. So if you might want to listen up on this one. But I got Bo Nickel winning, man. Go ahead, Keys.
Yeah, I mean, especially where unless you're taking a prop for Bo Nickel, like there's no value in betting him at like minus 2,500. That's insane. I mean,
yeah, you don't have nothing. Yeah.
Yeah, you either take a – it's pretty much for this fight, you either take a Bo Nickel prop, you know, where it's like I feel like he could win in many ways, so it's kind of tough to even take a prop. So, honestly, I mean, Cody Brundage by DQ is not possible. It's actually very possible. So, you know, hey, it's probably like plus 10,000. You know, you might as well put a dollar on it. You know what I mean? But anyways, Charles Oliveira versus Armin Saiyukin. This is easy. Oliveira wins. Absolute domination. Smashes his face through the canvas, and that's it. All is king. We're going All is King, third round TKO, and the very first official key special of the night.
And I'm going with the and I'm going with the little brother of the key special. I got Charles Oliveira winning by third round submission. I think he'll feel to carry arming out in the first couple of rounds, maybe the first round, see what he's working with as far as power. But one thing we know about Charles Oliveira, once he figures you out and he can take a punch from you, it's basically a game over. Once he can take a punch from you and he know you can't knock him out, he's going to work his game and then he's going for the kill. I got Charles Oliveira winning this fight. Like I said, by the Keys little brother, third round submission.
Okay, next one. We got Justin Gaethje versus Max Holloway. Again, another easy one for me. Max Holloway puts on an absolute masterclass. Shocked the entire world. Everybody's saying he's finished. They say he's going to get KO'd. They say Gaethje's going to ruin his chin. This is the fight for him. I say absolutely not. Max Holloway isn't even going to get knocked down in this fight. He ain't getting knocked down. He's going to shock the world. We're going Max Holloway. This is a five-round fight, I believe. We're going Max Holloway.
Yeah, it's a five-rounder.
We're going Max Holloway. Hold on. We're going Max Holloway to win by fourth-round TKO, the father of the special.
Oh, man, okay.
200-plus strikes. 200-plus significant strikes for Max. Remember I said it.
All right, I'm kind of worried about Max in this fight. Fighting at 155, last time I saw 155, he got dominated by Poirier, but that was on short notice. He actually having a full camp for this fight, so we could put what happened in the Poirier fight behind us. The thing that Justin does that people don't give him credit for is his kick game. Justin has a very, very good kick game. Can he kick Max's lead leg enough that kind of slows Max down in his striking? I think he can. I'm taking Gaethje in this fight in a very entertaining fight to retain the BMF title by split decision against a very, very game Max Holloway.
Okay. Now we got Zhang Wiley. You said you got Justin Gaethje in that one?
Yeah.
Okay. So this next one, we got Wiley Zhang. We got Wiley Nurmagomedov here versus Yan Zhaonan. Wiley Zhang, and I did tweet him on. I don't know if he saw it or not, but Lee said last time that one of our viewers asked if just how good is Zhang Wiley, and Lee told him that, you know, she didn't have a ground game and she got exposed by Rose, but that was before. And more recently, she dominated Amanda Lemos and landed a ton of significant strikes, complete domination of a title defense. No one even talks about that performance and how good it was. Zhang Wiley... Just how good is Zhang Wiley is truly the question. And I do think that Yan Zhaonan, I'm getting upset vibes. I feel like Yan Zhaonan can win this fight. I think she can win this fight. And you know what? I think I'm going to go with Yan Zhaonan to win this fight. And remember this, these are not my bets. Only the ones I told y'all were the bets. It was Holloway, Oliveira, Aljo, Jamal Hill, and Diego Lopez. Those are like pretty much ones that I may have as bets. But everything else here I'm saying is not a bet. It's just a pick for the show. So Yan Zhaonan, I go with upset. I'm getting upset vibes here. You know what I mean? Getting upset vibes. I smell a controversial decision coming. And that's how we go.
Yeah, I think my man Keys, I ain't gonna say he misquoted me, but the guy asked us how we felt about Wan J. Lee being a GOAT, and I said, and I'm gonna read the tweet. I said Zane was a good striker, but got exposed on the mat against Nama Hewness. She went to Cejudo and approved that weakness. She has a chance to catch Nunes as the women's GOAT if she continues to add more tools to her tool belt. And I said, sorry for having you on hold last night. Thanks for the support. One thing about Wiley, man, is ever since she's went to Cejudo and learned how to wrestle and she's incorporated that into her game plan, she's definitely looked unstoppable. Yan, I would say, probably the better technical striker in this fight. But I'm going to go with the champ, man. I'm going to say Zhang Weili wins this fight, not by knockout, but a second-round submission, man. I'm going Weili Zhang, second-round submission.
Zhang Weili. Weili Nurmagomedov. So, and for the final bout of the night, I want to just point this out real quick because my pick is Jamal Hill, but I just want up the Wiley Nurmagomedov stats from that last fight. Amanda Lemos, the pick is Jamal Hill.
Yeah, she had like 14 minutes of control time in that fight.
Yeah, so it was. 50-43. Whoever wins a 50-43, bro. She won 50-43. That means that there was two 10-8 rounds.
Yeah.
There was two 10-8 rounds on that scorecard. Then the other one had a 50-44, so he had one 10-8 round. And then the other guy, I don't even know how he got this one, but he had 49-45. I don't even know how you get 49-45. She must have got a point deducted is what I'm thinking that meant, is that she must. I don't even still know how you got 49-45. How do you even do that math? Because if it's 45, that means the other one lost every round, but then the other one had 49. But then how did they – I don't know.
He had a 4 rounds to 1.
So 49-45?
Yeah.
But it's 45 would mean that she had 9 points in 5 rounds. That would mean that she didn't get a round. Yeah, I'm kind of baffled.
What you said, score? Yeah, that's kind of weird.
So they had 50. They said 50. Zhang won a unanimous decision by scores of 50-43. So that's two 10-8 rounds.
Okay.
50-44. Yeah. That's one 10-8 round. And then 49-45.
See, 49 means you won four out of the 5 rounds. And then how did you come up with that?
I don't know. Yeah, that's what I thought. I don't know. Maybe it's supposed to, I don't know.
I don't even know how you come up with that, bro.
We might have that
scorecard. I don't know. Yes. Because basically crazy. What he's saying is he had to get her, had to have her win in one. That's 10. 7 is 14. That's 24. I don't know, bro.
Yeah, because if it was 4-1.
I'm
going
to look that scorecard up.
Yeah, he could have had it 49-46, which would have been, it would have been 4-1. But, yeah, I don't know. That one's, I'm kind of baffled right there. I don't really know. But overall, Zhang Weili, Yahoo Sports had it 50-44 for Zhang. Zhang outlanded Lemos 288-21. She landed 288 strikes to Lemos 21. She had 6 takedowns, 1 knockdown, and 14 minutes and 52 seconds of control time, which is just short of 3 full rounds of control time. That's a crazy performance. That is a crazy, crazy, crazy performance. And the thing that gets me, too, is that fight was in Boston. That was on the Boston card.
Yeah.
That just hit me. I just realized that. That was on the Boston card. Huh. Well, that was amazing. Zhang Weili's amazing. She probably wins the fight, but I could see an upset at the same time. But Zhang Weili's probably the best fighter, you know, of all time. When you look at that, you think John Jones could beat Zhang Weili? I feel like John Jones might try to duck that fight.
Hey man, I think Zhang Weili, she's good. She's good, but she's not that good.
I
think after this fight, if she wins, we got to start seriously thinking what's next for her. You know what I'm saying? But she has to win this fight first.
She's also doing title defenses. So a lot of these, you know, people, they don't even really defend like that. She's actually doing title defenses. So, you know, she's fighting the next, you know, she's fighting the number one contender when she defends. So, you know. And she's fighting good fighters. It's not like she's in a division that sucks. Like, she has a lot of good fighters there. But, you know, there's some cool shit. And you know which one I wouldn't mind is we'll see how it goes. But, you know, at some point, and I'm not trying to say, you know, let's hold the divisions, but I do think that Zhang Zhang versus Valentina? No, I don't think they did that one. I think Zhang versus Grasso could be cool, you know. I think Zhang versus Grasso, like, at some point. Like, it doesn't need to be now. I mean, I don't even like the champion versus champion things. You know, I like them to defend their belt. But that's why I'm saying, like, at some point, you know, I think that could be an interesting thing. You know what I'm saying? But overall, you know, I got Jamahal Hill. I think Jamahal Hill, you know, he's fighting Alex Pereira, who I think is going to be 36, so he's already 36. And everybody talks about the over 35 curse with fighters. And I just think also, you know, Jamahal Hill is a lot better than people are making him out to be. Just because he's a jerk on Twitter and he's, like, yelling at fans all the time, I don't condone him doing that. Yeah, it's like, Jamahal Hill, come on, bro. Like, he's always snapping on everybody. Like, and it's like, I get what he's saying when he says it. Like, I understand. He tells people, like, oh, you've never been in a fight. Like, I agree with, like, what he says. But, like, you don't got to go in on all your fans, bro. Like, you don't got to, like, tweet battles with people, man. Come on. Like, you're the champion, bro. And even if you weren't the champion, it's like you're a professional. Like, you don't need to be on Twitter like that. Like, don't even be on Twitter like that. Like, you probably got bigger things you could be doing. Go train. I'm sure he's got lots of money. It's like, bro, forget Twitter, man. Who cares? Like, whatever. You have to block people. You don't got to be arguing with fans all the time. He's always arguing. So I think that makes people, like, hate him to where they just underrate him. And they make it seem like he's not good because, like, they just don't like him. And that's what a lot of us do that now and then. But Jamahal Hill is tough, man. And I think he could beat Alex Pereira. Obviously, guys that strike with Pereira, they end up losing. But I don't know, man. I think Jamahal Hill is tough. I think he's a sleeper right there. I think Jamahal Hill, I think it's TKO Pereira. I think so. I think the third round
man,
TKO, bro. I think he's special.
It's funny because Jamahal Hill, even when I think he came at me, because you had tweeted at me saying that, you know, he didn't want to wrestle and he was going to be in a stand-up battle. And I was like, if he do that, then, you know, he deserved to lose because that's not a smart game plan. And then I want to say he came back and was like, what do you know, or something like that. And one thing about when me and Keys do these predictions, we actually watch fights. We actually watch fighters. We look at what they do good, what they don't do so good. One thing about Alex Perez, we know he can't wrestle. We know he has no ground game. If you know he has no ground game, why wouldn't you exploit that instead of going into his wheelhouse and making it a stand-up battle? That was one of the things that me and Keith talked about with John Jones, always trying to beat people at their game. And every time he tried that, he looked worse and worse. It was like, bro, that ain't what you do. Go in there and do what you do, that what made you great. Jamal Hill, maybe he's not a top-notch wrestler. Maybe, you know, he wants to prove a point that his striking is better than Alex Perez. I just don't like that. I think if Hill sticks to his game plan, he loses this fight. And I think he's stubborn enough to really stick to his game plan. And I'm going to take Alex Pereira in this fight. I'm going to take him via third round TKO. You don't want to stand and bang with this guy. Number one, he's probably going to walk in the cage. What you think his weight going to be walking into the cage on fight night, Keys?
What do you think his weight is going to be, Pereira?
Yeah, what you think his weight going to be on fight night walking into the cage?
Definitely way bigger than 205 when he gets in there. So that's why I was like,
yeah,
okay, he goes to light heavyweight, it's fine. Like, he's going to be good. I just wanted to see how he would look. And when he fought Vukovic, I was like, okay, like, he looks okay versus Vukovic. Like, I wasn't really thinking that he was, you know what I mean? Like, he definitely looks different than him at middleweight, because I feel like middleweight,
yeah,
you know, he has powers, you know, his power is of a bigger guy. Like, he just hit that machine today, and he, like, broke the record for the power punch machine or whatever. But, yeah, I think he has power of like, he probably has heavyweight, you know, he has heavyweight power. It's, like, it's the reality of it. And so I think now, you know, he'll probably come in. I could see him being, like, 235. I think 235 sounds about right. I think so.
Yeah.
And
that's a
lot,
man. 240. Yeah, I'm going 240. I think he's going to be around about 240, man. And I get it, man. Keys, I get the cockiness, the brashness. You know, you've been starching dudes. And, you know, your stand-up game is pretty good. But when somebody can't do something, you should exploit that. And I just don't think Jamal Hill would do it. And he's coming off an Achilles injury also. So, yeah, man, I'm taking Alex Pereira, man. Third round KO, even though I love Jamal Hill. I wish he could have had a warm-up fight or a tune-up fight, you know, past his Achilles, but he doesn't. And we'll see what happens, man. I'm so looking forward to Saturday, bro. I'm so looking forward to Saturday.
Yeah, me too. And that's why I didn't – that's why, like, I posted it on the timeline, and I said to the two, I was like, I think I started a movement because I posted – I don't know if you saw it, but I posted on my Keysville Talk page. I was like, yo, like, you know, I'm getting the feeling, like, I don't really want to bet for this card. Like, I kind of just want to enjoy it. You know what I mean? I don't want to – have, like, any stress or, like, disappointment, you know, attached to any of the fights besides, like, the just the natural disappointment that it doesn't go the way you want. Like, I don't want to have bets because that's what happens. It, like, becomes, like, a very psychologically taxing thing when you have bets, you know, tied
and
to
you,
fights.
And you're
and
not able
want...
to watch a fight objectively either because you got something on the line. So you really can't watch the fight objectively.
Yeah, and so that's the thing is I don't really want like any type of emotions attached to it or anything like that. Like, and from my experience, you know, like this is UFC 300, bro. Like, I started watching with UFC 200, you know.
Hold on, Keys. I gotta ask you a question. Huh? I gotta ask you a question.
But now all these people on the timeline are saying that the same thing. Now they're saying, many people on the timeline are saying that they I had my dude saying he cashed out all his bets earlier. He just wants to be able to enjoy it. I think I started a movement. I think I got everybody. They don't want to bet now. Everybody's trying to say, like, yo, you right, Keys. I'm like, yo, I know.
Hey, but hold up, Keys. I got to ask you a question before we get off. I know we're going over.
That's all good. It's a special show.
What do you think about your UFC 300 drink for that night?
Oh, damn. That's a good question. Damn, that's a good question. I mean, first of all, I'm definitely going to be drinking some of that bottle that you sent me. So that's the first thing.
Yeah.
As far as the official drink, I don't know. It depends on where I go, like if I'm home or I'm at my boy's house or if I'm at a bar, like it depends. I don't know. But I'm definitely going to at least have some of that bottle you sent me. If y'all don't know, Lee sent me. It said for UFC 300 on the box, bro. I was so lit. Like, I was like, yo, this is crazy right now. What did he send me? Like, I was like, yo, what? Like, I don't know what's going to be in the box, you know? He sent me a bottle. It's like this tequila and vodka hybrid, you know what I mean? Ironically. Yeah, it's like this vodka, bro. And I was like, yo, this is about to hit crazy, so. Yeah, I'm at least be drinking some of that. I don't know what my official drink is, but I'll tell you this, I might have to get tactical with it. We might have to get real, you know what I'm saying? Usually when there's a big event or you know, on occasion where I'm getting really excited, I'll end up drinking the proper 12. That could end up happening. I don't know. This is the type of event where the proper 12 would make sense. So that could happen. I'm just saying.
I am drinking this. I put it on Twitter the other day. I was over one of my boys' house, and he was drinking this tequila. And I'm really not a tequila drinker, but oh my God, this tequila that he had was so good. I was like, bro, what is this? And I'm trying to find a picture right now, so I can give the people the name of it. It's called Adictivo Tequila Añejo. Keys, I'm really not a tequila drinker, but this tequila here is so good. And and when I bought it, I was kind of mad because he didn't tell me the price of it. So when I bought it, I was like, woo! I was like, man, I wanted to put it back, but it was like a couple girls behind me in line, you know, so I didn't even want to trip out and look stupid. So I went on and bought it. But, yeah, man, I'm drinking this Adictivo Tequila Añejo, so that's what I'll be on Saturday night. And, yeah, man, I had to send my man Keys a Taste of North Carolina up there to Mass, so that just in case he was having a fight party, you know, he could do it real big up there with the Vodkila, man. But, hey, I hope you enjoy it, bro. Have a great Saturday. Hey, and if you got one of those greedy friends, you might have to cut them off so they don't try to drink all your shit up, man.
Nah, for real. I appreciate it so much. That was... Nah, I appreciate it. That's that's true. None of that's gonna happen because I'm gonna be. I mean, if I go somewhere, like if I end up washing my house, obviously it's already in the freezer. If I go somewhere,
right,
I'm gonna bring it there. Yeah, exactly. Like it's been in the freezer, you know, because we gotta have it right. We gotta have it cold. I haven't even tried it yet. I want to try it, you know, day of the event, you know, and if I go somewhere, I'll bring it with me. You know, if I end up going to a bar, I'll probably pregame with that, you know, and do something like that. So, you too have a great time. This is crazy, man. I started with UFC 200. So when they were on the broadcast the other day and they're like, yo, like, there's going to be a lot of new eyes. I think it was like John Anik or somebody was like, you know, there's going to be a lot of new eyes on the sport come UFC 300. There's going to be a lot of new eyes watching. And it kind of hit me in my chest, bro, because I was like, yo, I was one of those new eyes for UFC 200. I mean, that was me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I really was because, like, that was – I've watched almost every single event since UFC 200, and, like, that's where I really started at, you know. Like, I had the UFC video game and stuff, and, like, I knew about it, but I wasn't watching until UFC 200, and it's just crazy to think, like, 100 cards later, bro, you know, 8 years later, here we are, and they're like, there's going to be new eyes in the sport. Like, it just kind of feels like a time machine or something, you know what I mean? It's like, there's another version of me out there somewhere that's about to watch his first card on Saturday, and that's just a crazy thing to think about, man. And I love to see it, though, because, you know, it deserving card, they killed it. This should be a lot of new eyes on it, because this is going to be one for the book, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man. I mean, it's always good to, like, be able to experience, like, these 100s, 200s, 300s, you know, because, man, these are, like, some of the biggest cards that the UFC going to put on. And just to be able to watch it and, you know, be a part of it, especially, like, for what me and you do as far as, like, on Twitter and being able to have a show that's centered around this sport, is, man, it's good to be able to, you know, man, to be able to, like, you know, to reminisce on stuff like this. Like, you said you came in on 200. I'm looking at 100, and the top three cards on 100, I remember watching it. Brock Lesnar versus Frank Mir, George St. Pierre versus Thiago Alves, and Dan Henderson versus Michael Bisping, man. So, yeah, man, it's crazy, bro. But, hey, I know we went over, man. My last words is everybody be safe this weekend. If you plan on drinking, make sure you got a ride or Uber. You know, drink responsibly. Enjoy the fights. I don't know whether or not I'll be live tweeting Saturday. But normally when I watch cards like this, I do like to live tweet, you know, to get a little bit of interaction and stuff. So most likely I'll probably be live tweeting. So, hey, man, have a great weekend. Enjoy the fights and be safe out there.
Hell yeah. All of the above. Stay positive. Enjoy the card. I hope y'all are as excited as I am. I think I might explode. I might just blow up. You know what I mean? I might just blow up. And that's why, like, for me to be a guy, let me just tell y'all something right now. I don't even know if Lee knows this, but I just got to tell him real quick, just so we can have some understanding. And by the way, y'all, I'm going to have our UFC 300 predictions that we all said, just not the methods, probably just the names of who we're picking each fight on will be up on our page after this, so you can feel free to interact with that and, you know, whatever you may. But, yeah, for me to be a guy that's, you know, 69-3. Lee, did you know I'm 69-3 total record betting across the first three pay-per-views of this year?
I know now.
Yeah, so 69-3. I've only had 9 losing bets in a total of 72 bets in 2024 for pay-per-views. You know what I'm saying? Pay-per-views is where I seem to shine. For me to be on that kind of run and then be also saying, like, yo, I don't think I want to bet for 300 because I just need to focus. Like, I need to just soak this in is saying something while being on a run like that, especially. You know, I mean, I'm not trying to get caught up on my phone or anything or stressing about something, you know. So I hope y'all are as excited as I am. I think I might really explode. And that's where we'll cut it off at before Blog Talk cuts us off. Special show. We went with an hour and a half for this one. This was like a holiday show. You know, usually it's an hour. We went with an hour and a half. It is what it was. Much love. Anybody who listens, enjoy the card. Don't drink and drive. You know, if you're going to go somewhere, post up there. That'll be me. If I bring this bottle to my boy's house, I'm going to just sleep over. And if I really do go home, I'm just going to get an Uber. You know what I'm saying? If I bring that bottle to, I'm going to sleep over. But if I do go home, I'm going to take Uber. Just want to put that part there. And that's it. So, because I know I'm probably going to be lit off this bottle. Just by looking at it, I feel like I'm going to be lit. So, and
well,
I'm looking
the
forward.
The bottle is dope.
The bottle itself
dope
is dope. It is a dope
yeah.
bottle. It has like that type of glass that almost kind of looks like a sea glass. You know, it looks like it's made out of that sea glass. You know.
Yeah.
Has that certain like kind of foggy glass look to it. It's kind of crazy. But yeah, that's where we're gonna leave off at. Maybe we'll do more hour and a half shows like this. I kind of enjoyed this, man. I think this was nice. Maybe here
yeah.
and there. You know, if we're really feeling something or there's more something that you want to get into that it might not have enough time for, we'll do it. But if not, then we won't. So, yeah, everybody enjoy. Thanks for listening. Hit us up. I'm going to post up the predictions. Feel free to interact with that at Lee and Keys Real Talk, at either one of us. And that's it. We'll leave it off with that. And Lee, you know, for our closing segment, you always say.
Peace.